welcome back to Hero Hype. This is back to your regularly scheduled episodes now, after that very brief but very fun live episode that we did from Indie PopCon. I know that this one's a little bit later than usual. However, a lot of traveling happened around San Diego Comic-Con, so you'll have to forgive me for being a little jet-lagged and recovering after, you know, fairly sizable journey over to America. But I am back. And this week, I am not having Marimer as a host. I have been joined by Caitlin, who will, in your first surprise, be joining us as a regular host from now on. So say hello to Caitlin.
Surprise!
Ta-da! Yes. So Caitlin will now be on pretty much every episode going forward. So we're very, very, very happy to have her on board. And yeah. As always, guys, if you want to get hold of us at all, you can do so via our Twitter account, which is Hero Hype Podcast, or you can leave us a comment on the show notes for this episode when it goes up on Hypeable.com. But we'll just get right down to it. And I know you guys have probably been missing this, so we're going to dive straight into your brief history. And this time round, we've got a brief history of Damien Dark. So, there's no denying that Damien Dark is a dangerous character, though a lot of his origin is still a mystery. He's a master of technology and had strong connections to the criminal organization Hive. He was wanted and considered a criminal by both the CIA and the FBI, though neither group could mount any hard evidence against him, leaving their investigations into Dark a failure. The most baffling thing about Dark was his apparent youth. He appeared to be in his early 20s, despite being incredibly well-connected and established in the criminal world. His supposed immortality was due to having Adeline Wilson, the ex-wife of Slade Wilson's, blood inside of him. Vandal Savage eventually killed Dark, or so it was assumed. He survived the attack due to the immortality granted by Adeline's blood. So, that is, by and large, what we know about Damien Dark.
Which isn't much.
No, admittedly, not very much at all. Obviously, we've gone over this because, hey, guess what? Damien Dark has been cast for Arrow Season 4. We obviously got a little bit of a tease that about his character in the last season of Arrow. And the most surprising thing for me, I don't know about Caitlin, is the fact that this guy doesn't look like he's 20 years old.
No, they said they were going for an older version of him, which is interesting since it seems like one of his core characteristics is that he looks so young.
Yes, and it kind of like knocks everyone off guard because, yeah, you know, he's like a baby, and he's this like genius mastermind kind of dangerous character, but no, they're going with, someone a little bit older. So, is it Neil McDonough is what how you'd say his name, I guess?
Yep.
Yeah. So he has also been in a Marvel movie. Jumping ship there, and he was also on Justified. So, yeah, looks like they're going full steam ahead with taking Damien Dark forward as a villain in the next season. Also of note, obviously, is that Damien was killed by Vandal Savage, who we know is going to be in Legends of Tomorrow.
Dun dun dun!
Oh, crossovers.
everywhere.
Do you think we might see that actually work as a crossover between Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow?
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if they'll go with Vandal Savage killing him, quote unquote, but it wouldn't surprise me if they brought in that kind of conflict because they've really been teasing that they're going to be really tightly intertwined with all the different properties that they have now.
Yeah, is there anything about I know we don't know, we don't really know a lot about Damien Dark, but is there anything about him that excites you coming into Arrow season 4?
Well, I'm interested to see, because we know that he leads Hive, and that Hive is the group that hired Deadshot to kill Diggle's brother. So yes. I'm most interested in seeing some more Diggle stuff in the next season that's tied into Hive.
Yes, I'm really, really, really excited about that as well. Yeah, but I hope that actually means that we might see more of Hive as well. Like, we might see them come in as a massive criminal organization and get that coming through, because I'd really, really love that, especially considering Hive has a lot of links back to Teen Titans and everything as well, which I love Teen Titans. That's not a surprise or a secret on this show. So, yeah. Yeah, we also have some things that came from the San Diego Comic-Con panel from Arrow. We got a few really, really cool little bits and pieces from that. The first of which is that Oliver's getting a new suit. So, spoiler alert, Oliver's not staying out of the game for very long.
Clearly not.
Yeah. Yeah. The really, really cool thing for me is that Greg Berlanti said, we've always said the progression for Oliver is very much from the Arrow to Green Arrow, and this is the first real stop in that direction. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited. I really, really like the new suit. It feels more like armor as well.
Yeah,
like especially around the shoulders and the chest area, and I'm really, really liking the new like arm gauntlets as well, to like the braces to protect his arms and his forearms a little bit as well. So yeah, what did you think of the new suit, his Green Arrow costume?
I like it. I think it looks great. And I liked watching Stephen Amell came out and introduced the whole WB Knight in the outfit. So that was pretty cool to watch. I obviously wasn't there, so I had to watch it on YouTube. But
yes,
even watching it from a distance, I got chills. I was like, oh, it looks so good. So yes, I'm very excited.
It does look really, really good. Yeah, but in that vein, the show is apparently also going to become more Green Arrow-y. So they have said, you know, while season 4 is going to be a little bit lighter, it's not going to become essentially the Flash. It's not going to go that light. it's not going to swing so far that it's going to lose everything that makes Arrow, because, you know, we've come to expect it to be, you know, the dark and broody and emo older brother. So, yeah, but, you know, Oliver's going to come back. He's going to be in a much better place. He's going to be happy. Shocking.
Shocker.
Yeah. He's in love. Yeah, you know, if we're going to... Oh, God, we're going to see Oliver smile.
Oh, my God. Laugh. And maybe Felicity won't be crying every 5 seconds. Won't that be nice? Yes,
that would be very, very nice. Oh, please. Please let's not have Felicity crying all the damn time in season 4. Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing maybe a little more of a chilled out Oliver. Someone who's slightly closer to the wisecracking Green Arrow that I've come to know from the comics, and also like the Justice League cartoons. Like, he's very sarcastic, very dry, very witty. And while he can be very, very serious as well, there's also like an underlying humor to him. So I'm kind of looking forward to see if this is the beginning of that, like, going in that direction.
That would be nice, because it gets a bit oppressive. Last season just got increasingly darker and darker and darker, and I was like, oh, I'm so glad I can watch The Flash, because it's so much happier.
You failed the city. You failed the city. The city has been failed. I failed the city. You failed the city. We've all failed.
Now Felicity's crying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, I don't know, the Oprah of failing.
And I don't mind it being the darker of the two or 27 DC shows that are going to be on the air. It's just, it doesn't need to be that oppressive every second of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it'll be nice to see how they take on that new tone as well and how they push it forward, because it is going to be a big change for the show and how it's been, you know, how it's been written so far. But it's going to be a very welcome and a very interesting change for me, just because, you know, we're going to see new sides to every character that we've already come to know and love. We might see them being a little bit more secure in themselves, in how they protect the city and all of that. So, you know, it's almost like the next progression of the show. So, yeah, kind of looking forward to it coming back even more now.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic, or...
Because last year at Comic-Con, they announced Ra's al Ghul, and I was very excited about that, and then we saw how that went down.
Yeah,
so.
Don't be mean, Caitlin. Don't be mean. Let me get excited and be like...
I mean, Matt Ebel was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
But... we'll be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I know. I need to be careful with my heart. I need to be more guarded. Rather than just be like, oh my god, this looks amazing. Everything looks so great. I'm so excited, and then everything's sucking. Because then I just get sad.
If you have low expectations, you can only be pleasantly surprised.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, as we already said, Damien Dark is going to be in season 4. They basically fully confirmed that in the San Diego Comic-Con panel. And apparently there are a lot of characters coming up that people won't be able to guess. And they'll all be coming from the DC universe. Apparently one of these characters will be Anarchy, who is an antagonist who typically comes up against Batman rather than Green Arrow. So that's quite interesting.
And he's been cast.
Yes. Yes. Anarchy has been cast.
Alexander Calvert.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see.
So it's interesting that they're borrowing rogues from other DC heroes, which I guess is going to make them more surprising.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can't guess because you were looking at Green Arrow villains and we're pulling from Batman.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, as someone who reads the comics, that can be a little bit more exciting for me, because while I like having that background, it sometimes gets a little bit fatiguing if it becomes predictable. So while I hope that with most adaptions, comic book or otherwise, that they keep the heart of what makes them that franchise or that character or anything, or that story, I don't necessarily mind if they kind of veer off the path a little bit and do something different, as long as the core of what makes it exciting and makes me love the story is still there. I mean, it's why, like, I love Arrow and The Flash and all of that, is that it doesn't traditionally follow exactly what was in the comics, but the characters are still intact, and it still feels like them. Whereas, you know, I have my issues with Game of Thrones, in that it's veering off its track, but for me, the core characters and what I fell in love with those characters is no longer there. So that's kind of the place where I'm at, where I'm still really, really loving these shows, even though they're kind of going off and doing their own thing versus other films and TV shows that are doing the same.
Agreed.
Yeah. Let's see. Other things. Diggle could be getting a helmet. So, yeah. We could be seeing Diggle suiting up. So David Ramsey said that Diggle will be wearing a costume that involves a helmet in season 4. Which, you know, considering he has a wife and a baby girl, it might be a good idea to conceal his identity a little bit more. If he's going...
That only came up a few times last season.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if he's going to be dishing out vigilante justice on the regular, he might want to, like, not broadcast who he is so openly. So, you know, for all that we
just
may... yeah, for all that we may joke about Oliver's ridiculous spray paint across his eyes in season 1, you know, it at least did a little bit to conceal his identity along with, like, the hood and everything else. But, you know, walking around as just Diggle wasn't going to cut it for season 4. Will you be excited to see Diggle suiting up?
I mean, it feels like it's about time, because he's was the first person to join Oliver's crusade. So yeah. Even though Diggle's, like, the everyman, like, you know, just logically speaking, he really does need to conceal his identity. So
yes.
Go get it, Diggle, because I love him.
Yes. Yeah. Me too. So it's going to be great to see him potentially kind of just be featured a lot more. But the other thing that we got out of Comic-Con was that we are getting another character who is on the LGBT spectrum. So, you know, we've already had pretty good representation in Nyssa and Sarah. And, you know, I love them together and I love their characters and I think they're pretty great. But we are getting another one, Mr. Terrific, who is going to be coming in to season 4 as a friend of Felicity, who has also been cast now since this news came out. Yeah, is it Echo Kellum? Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, basically he's been cast, and whereas before we didn't really know which version of Mr. Terrific he'd be playing, because there are two incarnations, one called Terry Sloan and one called Michael Holt, we have now also been told who he's playing, which is neither of those characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's Curtis Holt.
So, you know, probably a link to, you know, Michael Holt, but in what way, we don't know, or whether they've just renamed Michael completely, or whether it's like, whatever. But again, he is another technologically adept character. He's also going to be an inventor, and he is going to be joining Palmer Technologies under Felicity. So yeah, that's kind of cool. So that rounds out, the characters that have joined. Other than, who was the other one that was cast? Was it Baron Blitzkrieg?
Correct.
Yes. You know, because casting's ramping up now that they've started filming. So Baron Blitzkrieg has also been cast, who is going to be played by Jimmy Akinbola, and is going to be the focus of the flashbacks. Yep, those flashbacks are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. Yeah. But yeah, interestingly enough, you know, Arrow and the DC shows have been fairly good in regards to representation of characters in terms of people of color. But we now have two more people of color joining the cast this season, which I was incredibly heartened to see. I don't know about you.
Yeah, and they're both recurring. So
yes.
They weren't just going to be one-off characters. So
yes.
I was really pleased to see that.
They're sticking around. But the other thing that I am incredibly impressed by is that we are getting a person of color who is also gay, which is it's a very, very strange thing to say, but you don't see that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really great, though. I think. Yay!
And they're bringing the bisexual character they killed back to life.
Yes. So, you know, one of my biggest bugbears about the last season, you know, they are going to be addressing and resolving that. let's see. Let's move... Seeing as Damian Dark kind of connects them together, let's move on to a little bit of Legends of Tomorrow news, which also came out of Comic-Con. Comic-Con was big, guys. So much stuff happened. So much. So much. Hawkman. Hawkman has been confirmed. I don't think Hawkman has been cast yet.
No, they didn't say which version it'll be either.
No. So, yeah, there's a lot of them. There's an archaeologist, there's an alien policeman version of him. It's all very, very strange. If I was to guess based on, you know, the vague idea of how the series of Legends of Tomorrow is going to work, I would probably guess that it's going to be Carter Hall, just because alien policeman. It makes the most sense thematically. To make that the Hawkman that's gonna appear, maybe, but until they cast or elaborate on it, we just aren't gonna know.
Or maybe it'll be an amalgamation too.
Yes, they're not
an alien archaeologist.
That. Hey, I'd be okay with that. That's very almost kind of Stargate Atlantis kind of Stargate thing. I would dig that. I'm super into that idea. Not really a surprise necessarily, but Arrow and the Flash are going to set up Legends of Tomorrow. I think
the main thing about this was just they gave us some more specifics of how it was going to set up. We knew that it would, but they were saying that, you know, the first few episodes of Arrow will do things like resurrect Ray Palmer, who everyone thinks died in that explosion at the end of season 3, and bring Sarah back to life in the Lazarus pit. So they said that'll happen within the first few episodes, and then they'll do the big crossover, which was episode 8 last season, and that'll be the total springboard. So we knew there would be setup, but we didn't know how much there would be until they gave us some specifics.
Yes, so that's always good. They have, there's been like little vague rumors flying around as well that the Arrow crew are interested in having Constantine appear on the show. So not necessarily reviving his show, but having him appear as a character. Which, if they are going to be focusing on the Lazarus Pit in any capacity through this season, he's probably a good character to want to bring in all
honesty. Yeah, I think this season is supposed to be kind of heavy in, like, mysticism and magic and that sort of thing. So that would be an interesting tie-in.
And Constantine, as a character, is pretty much the foremost expert on the Lazarus Pit. There is probably no one who knows it as well as he does. So, yeah, it would be really... I loved Constantine, okay?
Yes, you did, Danya.
I am still heartbroken over the fact it's been cancelled. I am still in mourning. So, if I can see Matt Ryan, genuinely my homeboy, Matt Ryan, he literally grew up around the corner from where I grew up. You know, if I could see him return as Constantine, who he played perfectly, and regardless of what some people thought of the show, everyone could agree on that at least. You know, yeah, let's get Constantine into Arrow and The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. Let's just put him in everything. Yes, the other thing is, again, not necessarily a surprise, but time travel is going to feature quite heavily as well. So yeah, we're going to have like Rip Hunter kind of be, well, he is a time traveler and everything like that, but the specifics of this were quite interesting. So Vandal Savage, who is immortal, they are going to come up against him multiple times in different time zones. And then basically it's gonna, yeah, I guess, look at how those confrontations are going to affect like other time streams. So that'll be, yeah. That'll,
I feel, be the headache building already trying to work out the logic, because time wobbly travel is never pretty when you're trying to work out the logic.
Yeah, yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey is Doctor Who so accurately put it. So
then we have Arthur Darvill.
Yes, we do. I mean, I feel as though potentially as we're going through the show, I'm going to be keeping like a whiteboard chart of like where they've moved in time and what's happened and what's going on and all of that stuff. So it's going to be quite interesting.
Kind of like walls of things, like strings, be like, this should have affected this, but this would have affected this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. Not to say I'm not excited to see how it works out. I've really liked everything that they've come out with so far, but
yeah. I'm super excited. I just foresee it having the potential to go awry, but
yes,
I think it could be really great.
Yeah, but speaking of things going awry, team dynamics, they're going to be pretty messy. So
surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got people like Ray Palmer and then Captain Cold,
yeah,
you know, what are you going to expect? You know, apparently Martin Stein is going to be mediating as much as possible. So he's going to be like the dad of the group, keeping everyone under control. And then you've got Captain Cold and Heatwave, who are just going to be annoyed at everything and having to work with these people. And then, And then Ray Palmer is going to be, like, wanting to, like, lead the team because he's, like, a CEO. And you know that's not going to end well. So,
and then who knows what's going on with Sarah, because she's been dead a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just all going to get very, very interesting very, very quickly. But yeah, the last thing, the last couple of things that they said was that it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. That is
anything that's too out there for Arrow or The Flash that they pitched in the writer's room, they're like, let's do that on Legends.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's everything with Legends. Yeah, Flash. I guess Flash is another good one to move on to. Holy shows, man.
Well, they all had one big panel.
They did have one big panel. Much like Oliver, the Flash is also getting a new suit for season 2, which actually I couldn't see. I mean, the image that they've released, though, it kind of looks pretty cool with like the little white emblem on the chest. It's really difficult to see what other big changes there are in the suit other than that.
Yeah, I can't really tell if there are really
no,
any other changes other than the white emblem.
Yeah, because it's got some weird-ass Photoshop and lens flare on top, a la J.J. Abrams. So it's really difficult to pass, like, if there have been any like, smaller details changed on the suit other than the emblem. For now, I'm just going to assume it was that. But, you know, it looks kind of cool, and it's interesting because we got, like, a little flash of that to future version of Barry. So, yeah. Very, very, very cool. And, you know, he can't be left behind. If Oliver's going to get new clothes, then of course Barry's going to get new clothes, too.
Come and on. Sisko knows from seeing the newspaper that that's the obvious next
yes.
incarnation.
Because Sisko is, he's smart. He's a smart dude.
And it's his suit.
It's his suit. It is his suit. So, the flesh. Stuff that we got from Comic-Con. So, season two is going to pick up a few months after the season one finale, which saw that wormhole open up over Central City. So, are we going to see exactly how that's affected everything? Is that wormhole going to be like, is that done with now? Is it dealt with? Is it okay? Is it still kind of hanging over everything? You know, it's a very convenient way to potentially deal with the giant wormhole problem.
It's like, oh yeah, remember that wormhole from 3 months ago and how we fixed it? Good times. That's convenient.
Yeah. So, yeah. Season two's big bad is going to be Zoom, who is, and I quote, going to be faster than Reverse Flash, faster than the Flash, is going to be terrifying and scary fest, and it's going to be all kinds of cool. So, yeah, Zoom is actually not necessarily a nemesis of Barry's. He is typically a nemesis that comes up against Wally West. So that's going to be kind of cool. So, again, we're also getting Wally West in this season. They were basically like, speedsters? Yeah! Let's just add all of them. So, Wally West, who is, you know, he was Kid Flash, and then he became the Flash eventually as well, took over from Barry. He's gonna be there. Jay Garrick, who I did a brief history about not too long ago, actually. I think it was a couple of episodes ago. The original Flash. Yep, he's going to be there too, who will be played by Teddy Sears. And then, who else did we have? Patty Spivot is going to be announced as well. Is going to be in season two as well.
Has been announced.
Has been announced, though. Is Chantal Van Santen? Yeah. So, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but she was on The Messengers and a few other shows that I have not watched, so yeah. We'll see. So, but she's going to be Joe's new partner, so.
Yeah.
Because his last one died. Let's bring the mood down.
Yeah. So, yeah, much like Iris, Patty is going to be kind of obsessed with metahumans and powers and all of that. But yeah, that's going to be quite cool. What else? Barry's mindset. Right. Grant Gustin, this is a really nice quote, so I'm just going to read this. So it says, "We find Barry dealing with some extra tension. He knows that Eddie was ultimately the hero that stopped Wells in the finale and saved everyone. We find him struggling with his role as a hero. He's a lone wolf, working alone." Working alone? Not for long! Come on, with all of those speedsters coming in, then they're really, really not going to let him kind of sit around and be alone, as Barry thinks, for long. What about you? Do you think that's like a natural progression of what Barry's mindset should be from the finale? Because, I mean, realistically speaking, he didn't save anyone. That's kind of true.
He was getting the crap beaten out of him.
Yeah.
When Eddie shot himself. So Eddie saved him and everybody else. So I could see how that would be really shake him a lot in his confidence to be able to do what he needs to do.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be interesting, though, because we're kind of going to get a reversal of attitudes and everything in terms of Barry moving into season two and kind of not knowing where he stands and not knowing what his role is. And then we've got Oliver being happy. You know, we've tipped the scales.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a nice counterbalance, I think. I get the feeling that Barry's general demeanor versus Oliver's, I think, means that he might bounce back a little quicker than Oliver might have if the same sort of situation had happened to him. So I'm not too worried about season two getting too heavy with the flesh. I think it'll still keep that light and fun air to it. But it is going to be nice to see Barry struggle like a little bit with what happened in the finale. Yeah. And finally, returning and new rogues. So we are going to see Marimer's favorite Captain Cold come back, and Golden Glider is also coming back, and Grodd is coming back. But while they've teased that new rogues are coming, they are not saying which ones.
Also, fun fact, The Flash was nominated for an Emmy for their effects with Grodd. Hey!
Yeah, which is really, really cool, because the thing with Emmys is that you don't necessarily see a lot of genre shows going up for a lot of stuff, except for usually, you know, effects things. I'd love to see more of these genre shows get, you know, nods in, like, some of the, what people deem as bigger categories. But, you know, Constantine's up for one as well, which I think was in special effects or visual effects or something to that extent. So, you know, it's nice to see them kind of creeping in there slowly, and maybe it'll turn the tides, because, you know, there were some phenomenal performances put in shows like The Flash and Arrow and Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So give us more.
Yeah. But Grodd did look really fantastic, so.
Yes. Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yes. Really, really quickly blitzing through casting things for The Flash. Former WWE superstar. What was his name again? Hold on. Adam Copeland, who's actually kind of fairly pretty. Okay, he's gonna be Atom Smasher. So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what. I don't know. I don't get wrestling. So, but you know, whatever.
I guess he retired and has been acting in a sci-fi series. Okay, since retiring. So. It's not coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then Michael Ironside has been cast as Lewis Snart, who is Captain Cold's dad. So, yeah, obviously ramping up to seeing more of Captain Cold, we are going to start probably seeing more of his backstory, which is, you know, quite cool. I like the idea of that. And other casting news. We have some casting news for Supergirl. There's two lots of casting. Let's see. The first one was Twilight Peter Facinelli?
Facinelli, I think.
Facinelli. I don't know. Apparently he was in Twilight. I don't know who he was in Twilight, but he was in that show. Movie. I don't know. I didn't do the Twilight thing. It just never really interested me.
He was Carlisle. He was the patriarch of the whole group.
Oh, so he was Daddy Sparkly Vampire.
Basically, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so Facinelli is going to be playing Maxwell Lord, who is a green tech billionaire who has a rivalry with Cat Grant and is going to be kind of, it says fascinated with Supergirl. I probably am going to read that with, like, weird obsession, probably. It's yeah.
Yeah, considering that character goes between hero and villain frequently, that's probably a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Let's see. What, there were a couple of other villains that were revealed, which is Reactron and Livewire. So yeah, we're gonna see more of those. And the other character that will be introduced is Lucy Lane, who will be appearing in episode 3. So Lucy is the sister of Lois Lane. And we all know who Lois Lane is, right? I think we can establish people know who that is. So yeah, the connection is that Lucy is an ex-girlfriend of James Olsen. So
Dun dun dun.
yes. Also interesting, Lucy is a flight attendant. So obviously, if you have seen the trailer for Supergirl, you know that the way that Kara reveals herself is that plane kind of going up in flames sort of thing. So could it be that in some way we may see it link back to that? Could she have been on that plane maybe as well?
Yeah, she's going to make her first appearance in episode 3.
Yeah, it could be that that's revealed
True.
afterwards. So it
Could be.
doesn't, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to see her immediately in episode 1. She, you know, she could be a flight attendant that we don't necessarily see on screen in episode 1. But yeah, I think that would be interesting if she was on that same plane as well. It would be a nice link back. But yeah. And what else? Let's break this up a little bit. Let's move on to some Marvel stuff because most of this has been all DC TV. Marvel camp has kind of been a little bit quieter. We've just had a little bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter stuff. Probably one of the biggest things to have come out of Comic-Con that, you know, I'm still not entirely sure where I sit with all this. Is that Sky is no longer going to be going by the name of Sky. Sky is going to be going by the name of Daisy Johnson, which is revealed to be her real name rather than the name of Sky, which she chose for herself. No, Caitlin hasn't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's not necessarily a spoiler. It's very well established through the entirety of the show that Sky isn't actually her name. And if you don't know the comics, then knowing her name is Daisy Johnson isn't going to ruin anything for you. But yeah, so central themes is basically going to be Inhuman, which, you know, not that shocking either. A lot of it's going to be looking at what it means to be human or not. So, you know, we're gonna be looking at Coulson, who, without spoilers for Caitlin, has something going on with him that may make him question how human he is or not. So, yeah, I mean, again, they're saying, you know, people like Ward, you know, he's gonna be questioning how human he is or how human he's not. And then you've got people who are actually not technically human at all and have powers in them. So it's a very, very interesting and very natural progression of the theme. So I'm really interested to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come back, but I'm also interested to see how they approach this whole Sky versus Daisy Johnson thing. And the other thing that we got is stuff about Agent Carter, which, hallelujah! So great. So, happily, while Peggy is going to be moving to Los Angeles, Jarvis is going with her. And Jarvis and Peggy's relationship is still going to be a major central part of the show, which is great. Yeah, so they're doing it by having Howard himself moving to LA, and obviously Jarvis has to go with him. So, yes, Jarvis is going to be charged with having to set up Howard's estate in Los Angeles, which has been described as the Playboy Mansion meets Neverland with flamingos and chicks in bikinis. very Howard Stark, I will admit. So, Howard is apparently going to be trying to set up a movie studio, which, you know, is going to be quite interesting. You know, we're going to be seeing Peggy starting off in season two in a really interesting place because, you know, she started moving on at the end of season one from Steve's death. So it's going to be really, really cool to see where she'll be going, you know, when season two comes back, because that's such a huge thing that was holding her back in season one is this responsibility to him. The loss was so new and so fresh. So seeing her moving on from that a little bit. We've also been told other characters are returning, like Daniel Sousa, but apparently the relationship is going to change in an unexpected way. So there may be some unresolved things.
Unexpected is such a buzzword at these things.
It's I know.
Unexpected.
Yeah, so, you know, the other thing is that we don't know whether Angie is going to be coming back or not. That they really, really loved the wonderful friendship between them. But they're hoping that they can kind of come back together and they can move Angie to LA as well. However, they've said that that story decision is not in their control currently. So at the moment, they are waiting on the actress. So that is everything from season two. So I think that's it for TV news, which there was a lot. This episode is probably going to be slightly longer than usual, just because we're having to get through all of the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. But I don't know, should I say thankfully? Maybe not thankfully. movie headlines are a little shorter. So, Deadpool. Let's carry on with the kind of vaguely Marvel theme, even though it's Marvel Fox. We've got some really cool images that have come up showing, finally, the female characters who are going to be appearing in the movie, rather than just Ryan Reynolds. But honestly, Ryan Reynolds has been rocking it as Deadpool in all of the marketing that I've kind of been fairly satisfied, even without having seen the female characters so far. I don't know about you.
Yeah, but it's nice to see them, finally.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, just everything about this movie has been so on point so far. Everyone looks great. It looks like they're really capturing the mood. And I'm just super stoked for this movie. I probably shouldn't be getting my hopes up so much. But even the trailer, the Comic-Con trailer, was so great. And just...
I want to see it.
I want to see it so bad. Because the thing is that Deadpool is such a difficult character to translate to the screen. Because if you stick with, like, his genuine comic book kind of aspects, Deadpool is so very aware that he's in a comic book. Like, he knows he's in a comic book. He knows he's living in one. And so it's very, very interesting to see how that's going to translate to the screen. Because is he going to be aware that he's in a movie? Is he going to keep addressing the audience? Is he going to address the fact that he's in a movie? You know, that'd be...
Like knocking on the screen.
Yeah. You know, that'd be... There's so some really interesting ways that they could probably take it. And I just really, really want to see it already. we also got on the Fox side of things, X-Men Apocalypse looks at Apocalypse himself, who... kind of looks, I'm going to be, someone is going to shout at me for this one, he kind of looks like a Power Rangers villain.
I can totally see that. I was thinking he looked like the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, no, he definitely looks very Power Rangers.
But I see that, yeah.
You know, I'm super into Psylocke, and I'm super into all of the costumes for, like, Magneto, and Storm looks amazing.
And, oh my god, so yeah. Good.
And just, I don't know, all of the like screen caps that we've got from Entertainment Weekly for this, I've been like super into. I just couldn't help the little snort of laughter. Yeah, the snort of laughter when I saw Apocalypse, because I was like, go, go, Power Rangers.
Just wondering, do they have Ivan Ooze?
Yes, basically. Oh my god, I'm not going to be able to take Apocalypse seriously in this film, because now I'm just going to be thinking of him, like, handing out ooze to children.
Ay, ay, ay. That's not good.
Oh, wow, you just did the ay, 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 ay. Amazing. Guys, if anyone is out of the age range where you may have been introduced to the original Power Rangers series and the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, I think it's still on Netflix. It was on Netflix at one point because I watched it on there, because I'm a glutton for punishment. If you haven't seen it, just do it for the laugh. Just seriously, because it's so absolutely ridiculous and a little bit creepy and very much absurd. But you will probably get the joke then, or just look it up on Google, because just hilarity all over. Though, I will say I'm still looking forward to X-Men Apocalypse. It's an X-Men movie. I've been mildly disappointed with the last one, as people well know that I still wanted more screen time and more action for Kitty, but I don't know. I like the younger characters and the looks that we've got and where they're going with it, so yeah.
And who knows, Apocalypse may look more impressive, like, on the screen instead of just a production still.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Also on the Fox side of things, sticking with it, but very, very briefly, we got some more Fantastic Four trailers that highlighted a little bit more of Doctor Doom. You know, I might be alone in this camp now, but every little trailer that keeps coming out for the Fantastic Four, I'm getting mildly more optimistic for it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. There's something there underlying in the background that's just sparked my interest, and I can't quite put my finger on it exactly. But, you know, I was very much kind of like, I'd written it off completely, much in the way that I had done with Ant-Man, in that I was like, I'm probably not going to enjoy it. I'm not into it. I don't know why we have to go through this whole hoo-ha of having to reboot everything again, other than the fact that Fox probably just want to hold on to the rights before they default back to Marvel. So, yeah. But I was very pleasantly surprised with Ant-Man, so maybe I should be more optimistic about the Fantastic Four.
Well, one's Marvel and one's Fox, so...
Oh, no! Come on! I rag on Fox fairly often, but... Aw, we gotta give them... do we have to give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes? Maybe.
Do we?
I don't know. It depends on if we're still mad at them for Firefly.
Forever.
Forever, yeah. Okay, what else? Should we stick with Marvel? Let's stick with Marvel stuff. So, Tilda Swinton has confirmed that she's going to be co-starring with Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange as the Ancient One. Now, I already went over my problems with this in a previous episode, which I will give Caitlin the Cliff Notes version. I am happy that they are casting a female character in a role that was originally played by a male character. However, I am massively unhappy that they have whitewashed this character, who is Tibetan in the comic books.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, so I'm still very conflicted about this, because essentially what they're doing is playing with Asian-themed aspects of magic and mysticism, and giving those powers to white characters.
Yeah, that's a little sketchy.
It's, for me, it's tiptoeing into territory that I'm not entirely comfortable with. I was already vaguely concerned when they cast Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, considering the basis of his powers having come from basically a sorcerer who is Tibetan and teaches him his ways, but they're basically removing all of that culture from it entirely, and so I want a little bit more. I want a little bit more backstory. I want a little bit more meat to this before this kind of really uneasy feeling in my gut kind of disappears, because until they address it in some very sensitive and definitive way, I'm not going to get rid of that right up until I go and see the movie, and I'm very worried about that.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that.
Yeah. And it makes me sad, because I actually really like the Doctor Strange character. I like the idea of the Sorcerer Supreme, I like all the shenanigans he gets up to, I'm really into, like, the villains he comes up against, you know. He's right up there in, like, the characters that I really, really enjoy. So, I'm very disappointed that at the moment I've just got more trepidation than anything else when it comes to Doctor Strange as a movie. And, I mean, I can genuinely get over them casting Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange when I think that Doctor Strange is the perfect title for them to take risks with, because they're so good at casting relative unknowns and making them stars rather than vehicling their movies by using stars. So, yeah, I'm worried. I'm so worried.
Well, like we said before, if you have super low expectations, it's really hard to go any way but up.
Yes. I guess the other movie that I'm slightly worried about still, Captain America Civil War, which features every single
Avengers 2.5.
Yeah, basically, which features every single character ever in the history of ever to do with Marvel. Yeah, they've just given a couple more, or Martin Freeman has given a couple more character details for who he is playing in Civil War, but hasn't said what character he is. So I'm a little bit worried about who he's going to be playing, just because they're being, I don't think they'd be so tight-lipped about a character who's going to be a slightly more minor character. But the information that we got is that he works in conjunction with the superheroes and certain agencies to help to tame the superheroes' power. But his thing is that you're not quite sure what side he's on. He may be playing the game a little bit, and you don't really know whether the character is good or bad or not. So we're not necessarily going to know whose side he's on when Civil War comes around, but they're also not telling us much more about the character at all. Yeah, finally, out of San Diego Comic-Con as well, is that we got some trailers for Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. Which, of course, within seconds of being at San Diego Comic-Con, they were on the internet. Which ruffled DC's feathers, and they got a little bit mad, and were like, "Oh no, you can't do that, don't do that, or we'll never take stuff to San Diego Comic-Con again," etc., etc. But, you know, I kind of enjoyed both trailers. Shocking. I know.
Too. I was weirdly into what they're doing with the Batman v Superman, because my big issue with or with the Man of Steel was the whole massive destruction, and they're actually doing something with that.
Yes, which...
They're addressing that that was a problem. Like, okay, I can get behind that if you're going to address that that was an issue.
Yes, yes. So the trailer was actually really good. I was very impressed. I liked it a lot more than the first kind of teaser trailer that we got. I think it gave it a little bit more meat. We got to see a little bit more of the characters. We found out after the trailer that Gotham and Metropolis are sister cities that are kind of separated by a bay, much like Oakland and San Francisco, apparently. So I guess that's going to be fairly interesting to see how, like, Gotham deals with what happened in Metropolis after the destruction being so close. Like, if it had, like, a very, very intimate knock-on effect, rather than, like, other places being a little bit more removed from everything, and yeah, just seeing it through a TV screen being that close, you know. Yeah, and Suicide Squad trailer. I also really liked the Suicide Squad trailer. I thought it was a very, very interesting way to approach it, where they had Amanda Waller with her steak and kind of eating it, interspersed with, like, all of these flashes of, like, the characters and Harley Quinn on those really awesome, like fabric, like ribbons kind of like twirling around everywhere, and they just all looked incredibly badass and awesome.
Yeah, I liked it more in action than I did when I saw pictures of things that were going on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not entirely sold on the Joker, I will admit. That's the only thing I was kind of like,
I can't get past the teeth.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. But I'm hoping that when we get him in larger quantities, which we undoubtedly will, that I might change my opinion a little bit more. But for now, I'm still not entirely sold on the Joker. However, the rest of it, very, very impressed with.
Pleasantly surprised. Look at that.
Pleasantly surprised. The final bit of movie news to just before we move into our quotes of the week. Lady Sif is going to have a very pivotal role in Thor Ragnarok, which will tie into Civil War.
Yay.
Yes, because more Lady Sif. I'm super excited to have Jamie Alexander back. I really, really love her. I'm interested to see how they're going to tie it all together and just what role she's going to have, because I love Lady Sif as a character. And, you know, again, people may whine at me for this. I actually like Thor and Lady Sif together. In a romantic way in regards to the comics and stuff. Like, it's a relationship that I really, really enjoy. And I wouldn't be completely opposed to seeing it eventually play out in the movies, as much as I also love Jane Foster. Maybe unpopular opinion, I don't know.
I have no shipping preference in Thor, not gonna lie.
You just want to see him take his shirt off.
Well, who doesn't? I have eyes.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Thor, funnily enough, is my mother's favorite superhero for obvious reasons. So, yeah. And that's it. That's it for all of the news. We did it! We got through it all!
Oh my gosh, there was so much.
There really was a lot. That's what we get for putting off an episode for a little bit longer than we usually would because of jet lag.
Oh,
blame me. I know, blame me. Or blame Comic-Con, actually. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's blame Comic-Con instead.
Well, 3/4 of the news stories came out of Comic-Con, so it's like, we're going to blame Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're going to blame Comic-Con for that. Okay, quotes of the week. I will let Caitlin take the lead on this one. So go ahead. What's your quote of the week?
All right. So mine was from the Arrow panel at Comic-Con when they're talking about, which we kind of talked about earlier, about the tone of the season. And two of the executive producers were talking about what we can expect. And Andrew Kreisberg says, when the season starts, Oliver's in a much better place. He's happy. He's in love. That feeling infuses all the characters. There's a little bit more fun and more humor, to which newly promoted executive producer Wendy Miracle said, we actually get to have Oliver make some jokes in the lair, which is a first. So,
oh no,
Oliver will even be making jokes. It really is becoming Green Arrow.
It is, which, you know, bring it on, I say. Bring it on.
I mean, we've already had the punching glove Arrow, so we just need more jokes.
Yeah. So, my quote, also hysterically from Comic-Con, actually came from the Lucifer panel, which I did a review of the pilot episode, which I was very fortunate to be able to see at Comic-Con, and it was fantastic. I really, really loved it. Make sure you check it out when it comes on air. But Tom Ellis, who is going to be playing Lucifer himself, was talking a little bit about the character and kind of the vibe of the script, and he just off the cuff said on the panel, I just had this image of like Mick Jagger just having had sex with Noel Coward. That's what I based it off. And I'm just like, okay, no, I see it. Okay, that's very, very true. Because I just seen the episode and I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I got that. Well done. Yeah. Okay. Whew. Comic corner. Now.
Keep talking, Danya.
Now then, a lot of you, and I mean a lot of you, have been asking and asking and asking and then asking some more for me to do this comic corner, this particular comic corner. And after many weeks of deliberation and going back and forth and still going back and forth right up until about 5 minutes before I hit record for this podcast, I have finally and am finally bringing to you my Comic Corner recommendations for Captain America. Steve Rogers Captain America, because if we start getting into all of the other Captain Americas, then I would be here for an eternity, and we really don't want that. So, first things first, I've kind of chosen Captain America Man Out of Time. So this trade collects the 5-issue miniseries that serves as kind of the perfect starting point for anyone wanting to read more about Steve Rogers. It follows some very familiar points for anyone that has seen the first Avenger, which is like Steve's return to the modern world after being frozen in ice, so, you know, Capsicle, and then his attempt to readjust to the modern world. But in this, unlike in the kind of Captain America movies, there is this really heart-wrenching point when Kang the Conqueror turns up and returns Steve to his true place in time. But as you might expect, that doesn't really work out or very well for him. The second one I've got is Captain America Operation Rebirth. Now, between his kind of origins and through like the late 80s into the early 90s, like Captain America got caught up in like this weird, not so wonderful storylines. In fact, quite a few runs of comics went through this really weird period of not being great. And unlike the recently weird and amazing Planet Hulk, which everyone should be reading, a lot of the Captain America stuff wasn't on point until Operation Rebirth, which kind of returned Steve Rogers to his previous highs and kind of drove right into the core of what made us all love Captain America in the first place. So it had fast-paced action, you know, really cool threats to the world, still kind of weird villains, but in a good way, and the kind of battle between idealism and cynicism. It's like kind of what more could you ask for from Captain America? Next one I've got is going to be of no surprise to anyone, and that is The Winter Soldier.
Gasp.
Yes. But how do you even begin to talk about the Winter Soldier without crying? You don't, ever. So much like the movie, the Winter Soldier really changed up the usual formula everyone had come to expect from Captain America. So it was, again, like the movie, something resembling a socio-political action thriller, but it worked beautifully. I mean, the relationship between Steve and Bucky is like a stab to the heart with every page. And Bucky! You really feel their struggle as they come up against each other, like, deeply, bone deep. But do yourself a favor and pick this one up as soon as you can, because it's great. Next one I've got is Mythos Captain America. Which, you know, Captain America isn't really short of retellings of his origin stories. Mythos is another kind of retelling, but unlike some of the others, it focuses more on Steve's early life. So, particularly his time during World War II and what being a soldier meant to him. But it also really beautifully highlights Sarah Rogers and the significant impact that she had on Steve's life. Not to mention, the art in this comic is absolutely gorgeous, and you'll probably find yourself returning to this one again and again. And the last one, Captain America, the Fighting Avenger. Again, another origin story. I'm kind of sorry about this, but they're all so good. The Fighting Avenger takes us back to World War II, again, where, and this might also sound familiar, an elite, tight-knit military team has been forced to adopt the first super soldier. So it kind of follows Steve's integration into the team, despite all of the high tensions. It also has some humorous moments as the team literally hazes him. But not only that, Steve discovering the extent of his powers, beautiful. The first time he throws his shield is priceless. And it's this wonderful one-shot that's definitely worth picking up, either for diehard Captain America fans or casual readers as well. But that's it. That was painful, guys. So I heard your cries for Captain America, and I put myself through torture trying to whittle it down to 5 comics that I wanted to recommend. It was hard. Really hard.
Are you still hurting?
I'm still hurting. though, one side note, if anyone ever recommends the Ultimates for you to read for Captain America, don't. Run away. Run as far away as you can from that. Ultimate Steve Rogers, as far as away as you can possibly get from Steve Rogers of the movies. So if you like this very conflicted man who believes in justice and truth and the good in people and everything, just don't touch Ultimates, because he is a racist xenophobe who is, yeah, it's very uncomfortable, and he's kind of boiled down to this what they believe is this 40s sensibility kind of person. So, and it's the furthest away from Steve Rogers as you can possibly get. So just don't touch it. Just, if anyone hands it to you, just slide it right back and say thanks but no thanks. Right, so wrapping up, we don't have a lot of feedback to get through, just a couple of bits and pieces. So, Caitlin, do you want to take the first one?
Sure. Michaela asks, have you read A-Force yet? How do you feel about it? I'm enjoying it so far. Danya?
I have read A-Force, and I'm continuing to read A-Force, and much like you, I'm enjoying it a lot. It features a hell of a lot of female characters that I love anyway. It's fun, it's well written, it's beautifully drawn, and, you know, lady team-ups, what's not to like about that? Yeah.
We like the ladies.
Yes, we do. Mel has asked us, have you seen Ant-Man? If so, how did it compare to your expectations? I have seen Ant-Man. It compared very favorably upon my expectations. It was very, very good. A lot more than I thought it was going to be. However, we will have a more in-depth episode about Ant-Man coming up soon. So we will get a lot of people to weigh in on it, and we'll probably split it between, you know, like we have done before, spoiler-free and spoiler-filled. You haven't seen it yet, have you, Caitlin?
I have not. By the time this episode drops, I probably will have seen it.
Well, there we go.
As of recording, I have not seen it.
There we go. Let's see. Shelley has asked, do you guys listen to the This Week in Marvel podcast? I just found out about it. I do. I listen to that, and I also, there's one about the women in Marvel as well. I also listen to that one, so you can check that out. If you like This Week in Marvel, you'll probably also really like that one, Women in Marvel as well. I don't think, Caitlin, do you listen to that podcast?
I do not. Shocking.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, updates and news and what's the goings on in Marvel, especially in comics. So it's really, really good for me to keep up with everything, because there's a lot of stuff to keep up with.
You don't say.
Yeah. That's it for our normal feedback. We did get a single answer to our question of the week from, not the last episode, the episode before, because like I said, the last episode was kind of a little different thing, live from Indie PopCon and all that, which was awesome, by the way. But that question of the week was, if you could have anyone join the cast of your favorite superhero show, who would it be, or who would you promote as a regular? Do you want to take this one, Caitlin?
Our friend Danielle says, I whisper ward on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they did nothing substantial with him last season, in my opinion, and then back away.
I don't disagree with that, though. Danielle might think that I would get mad at her because I'm not exactly Ward's biggest fan at times, but I want them to do more with him. I do. I may dislike him, but that's kind of what they want you to do. They don't necessarily want you to like him as a person, and that's fine. You know, he's a very difficult character, without spoiling too much for Caitlin, because she is going to be watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. soon, like all yes. of it.
Yes. I stopped about after about 10 episodes, so I have a lot to catch up on.
So she's going to be returning to it, but you know, I do want them to feature him a little bit more. So I don't necessarily disagree. Caitlin, do you want to ask this week's question of the week?
Sure. So at the Comic-Con panel for Legends of Tomorrow, Mark Guggenheim teased that they're not only going to be going back to really interesting places, they're going to be going to some incredible moments. So our question is, in the spirit of Legends of Tomorrow, what moment in time would you like to travel back to?
It's a really good question. Do you have anything in mind already?
My God, there's so many.
I think I'd like to go to ancient Egypt.
Well, that'd be interesting.
I don't know why. I've always been really, really fascinated with Egypt, and ancient Egypt as like a time period and everything that sort of came out of it. So yeah, I'd be fairly interested in traveling back to that point in time.
I mean, I might be more interested in going forward, just because I'm far too invested in my creature comforts that going back in time, I'd be like, why don't you have running water and air conditioning? I need all these creature comforts.
Yeah. Well then, guys, make sure you weigh in on pretty much everything that's gone down in this episode. We will be back sooner than you might expect. So keep an eye out for another episode coming soon after this one. But for now, I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see. We'll speak to you again soon. Not see you, because you're not getting video of these faces.
That would be a surprise.
Yes, that would be a surprise. But until next time, guys. Bye.